Our gospel reading this morning is from the chapter 14 of John, verses 1 through 10. And if you want to follow along, you'll find that on 1675 in your pew Bible. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. God of life, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our minds and hearts lead us to deeper understanding of you and the love that you call us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For last month's newsletter, I printed a little background on this sermon series about the I Am sayings of John. Just a real quick Cliff Notes version of it is that the I Am sayings would have been very familiar to anyone with a Jewish background. You may remember that when Moses was at the burning bush, God told him, he asked God, who am I to say who you are when the Israelites ask? And what did God say to him? I am who I am. So anyone who heard Jesus say, I am, knew they were talking about God, using that phrase, that was saying something about who God was and what God was going to do. So that's a little background. If you haven't gotten that, go back and read the newsletter and check that out for a little background on this sermon series about the Israelites. So when I was younger in college, I worked for a very successful orthopedic surgeon. And this orthopedic surgeon offered my buddy and I private box suite tickets to a Baltimore Orioles game. Oh, our favorite team growing up was the Baltimore Orioles. We used to go to games every summer, my buddy and I, and they knew we loved that team. And they said, here you go, Gray. Here are your special fancy pants tickets to the private box seats. You know what we're talking, leather seats, an attendant, high def television, all the food you could imagine. We're just losing our minds. We're like, oh my gosh, Landon, Gray, this is amazing. So we get the tickets. We travel up to the stadium. And we walk to this section of the stadium we've never been allowed to even look at, much less go to, right? And we get up to the door, we present our tickets, the attendant looks us over like we're like, I'm not sure you guys belong here, but the tickets check out, so I guess I gotta let you in. He opens the door, and it's like the Alleluia chorus goes off. What is this? I walk in. I didn't even know Camden Yards had a level that was this beautiful. Marble floors, plush couches. Everybody seemed happier there. I don't know what that was about. And we get to go to our private box seats. And I thought, this is it. This is it. This is the way to do it. Our box was right next to Cal Ripken Jr.'s family box. Oh, that was so cool. It was like we were whisked away into the fantasy deck of the most exclusive box level. That was so great. And I remember, you know, when you go to these places, you know, it's very strange for the bathrooms to smell like someone actually cleans them. You know, that's how nice this section of the stadium was. I definitely felt like I was crashing a party that I was never to be invited to, like I was getting away with something. And it feels really good to be part of an exclusive club, just maybe for one game, right? So when we read the saying of Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life, it's not hard to read this and think that Jesus is presenting himself much like these tickets that I had as exclusive tickets to the divine box suites. And he seems to make the point even firmer in the next verse. No one comes to the Father except through me. To know God is to know me and only me. That is as exclusive as it seemingly gets, right? Now, this firm conviction in John's gospel has not surprisingly been used and taken and interpreted to prove that people of all other faiths are bound for hell, except Jesus, or burn in eternal flames. Yet turning the scripture into a weapon to scare folks to Christ, I believe, is antithetical to the gospel. Only God can make the claim and the call on salvation. Salvation is only of the Lord. We know that as Calvinists and as Presbyterians. And the minute that we start damning folks to hell as if we were God, we also condemn ourselves. Paul is very clear on this point in Romans chapter 2. Condemn others, you condemn yourself as well. Now, as Christians, we are called to share the good news, to invite others to join us, but not to coerce or scare others into faith. So if this I am saying is not to be used to condemn others, what is Jesus trying to say to us and to the world? This is where context helps us understand the saying. This passage from John comes right after Jesus had washed the disciples' feet. Judas had left to betray him, and Jesus had given the disciples the new commandment to love others as he loved them. The wheels are in motion towards the cross. Now, at the beginning of chapter 14, Jesus takes a moment to prepare the disciples for his departure. He wants them to know, I am about to leave, and you need to know what to do. And this is two chapters of the speech called the Farewell Discourse, where Jesus lays it out for his disciples, what is going to happen and what they need to do after he dies. This is a speech nobody wanted to hear. Nobody wanted to even think about Jesus being gone. And so here, Jesus knows that even talking about his immediate death would be enough to bring confusion, despair into this rogues gallery of disciples. So Jesus starts by trying to comfort them. You heard the first verse in chapter 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. I am going ahead of you to prepare a place for you. Before you say goodbye, you make plans for the next time you're going to see each other." This is why you often hear this passage spoken at funerals. Now Thomas, still confused about Jesus' death, says, "Lord, we do not know the way you are going. How can we know where you're going? How can we know the way?" And Jesus, remember, Jesus here is not speaking to the lost, right? He's not speaking to people of other faiths. Jesus is talking to his disciples, the people who knew him best. And when Jesus says to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he is saying, "Don't be distracted. Keep your eyes on me, my words, my actions. It is there and only there you're going to find strength, that you're going to find power, that you're going to find the perseverance to to live this faith and trust in God. Because for people in the first and second century hearing these words, this was a game changer. Because when they heard Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, the life," they're hearing, hold on, Jesus. You're not saying I don't have to go through five levels of divine bureaucracy to get right to God? That I don't need to go through a pope or a pastor or a king or a prophet to get to you? I only need to have a relationship with you, and that's it? Is that what you're saying when you say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life"? Because that's exactly what Jesus was saying, breaking down those barriers that were in place at that time. If you know anything about first century religion, there were a lot of bureaucracy, is the best word to say it, in religions. You had to go through this person, then you had to go through this person, then you had to go through this person. There was always someone there to dole out the relationship between you and God. And Jesus is saying, "Nah, you don't need any of that. You just need me. You just need me." And that is powerful. That is a game changer. And that is probably what, when most people read this as a very exclusive passage, is actually one of our most inclusive passages. Jesus is available to you. God is available to you right here and now. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. You don't need anyone else. Jesus is saying, "I am all you ever, ever need." And that is good news. But here is where it gets tough. As I was telling the kids about a map, right? Sometimes reading these maps can be rather complicated. And as most people go, "Well, I don't even know where I'm on the map, much less to read the map," right? When you open the Bible and you start internalizing the way of Christ, what it means to live the way. Remember, early Christians were called people of the way, right? When you start to understand what that means, you realize that it requires a lot from us. Sacrifice, humbleness, generosity, hospitality, openness, the hardest things to live in our life on a consistent basis. It isn't and won't be easy, but we know that it is through this way that experience life that we experience truth. The way comes first on purpose in this saying, right? Jesus started with the way intentionally because he knew that by following the way, you will see the truth of God's love and you will experience the power of new life, of resurrection. Transformative new life. Life that helps you live sacrifice, humbleness, generosity, hospitality, and openness. So in this way, Christ is an exclusive ticket. When I was in those box seats, I wanted to sit in that leather chair and just scream at everybody, "Look at this ticket! Oh my gosh! Look how amazing this is!" But the exclusive ticket that Christ has offered us is not one that any of us want to wave in the face of anyone else or brag about our privileged place. But it's a ticket that offers and frees you from the distractions, from the stumbling blocks, from the bureaucracy that this world tries to offer you, saying you have to do this or you have to go through this person or all this has to happen. And Jesus says, "No. I have given you the backstage all access pass. I have given that to you. Nobody else is going to give it to you. No one else is going to offer that to you. Here it is. For free. Here it is. Follow the way, and you will see the truth, and you will experience new life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.